Good morning. Today we will be talking about the name of Jesus, and the topic today is His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. We'll be looking again at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. I think it's just about four verses. So I said the topic is His name is Jesus. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Lord, we thank you for the privilege to look into your word this morning, and especially, Lord, to consider your name. I pray that you will speak to our hearts and bless us. And Lord, that after we've been blessed, there will be blessings to others. In Jesus' name, amen. In many cultures across the world, there is a lot of importance attached to names. In fact, some believe that names are prophetic. Others believe that names carry a parent's wish. And yet, there are some cultures where names are just names. People just give names to their children just because they want to give them names. But whatever the situation is, one thing is clear, that there is always a meaning behind names. Some people have named their kids because they've traveled to a very interesting place, and so they decided that if a child is born, they are going to give them the name of that town or that place. But in ancient Jewish culture, names are actually indeed very prophetic. Can you imagine if somebody names their child Failure, and every day they call that child Failure? You can imagine the impact, a parent calling a child Failure. But actually in the Bible, there is a man called Jabez. His mother gave him the name because she had a lot of pain and sorrow, and his name actually meant sorrow. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, Jabez went to God and said he doesn't want sorrow in his life. And the Bible says the Lord answered his prayers. So names can be very important. There's a man in the Bible called Abram. The meaning of his name is a noble father. That was his name. But one day God decided to change his name from a noble father to father of many nations, and turned his name to Abraham. Another person very popular in the Bible is Sarai. That's the wife of Abram. Her name means princess. But God changed that name from Sarai to Sarah, which means mother of many nations. So today we are looking at the name of Jesus. And just to tell you that names can be very, very important. Very, very important. And today we are going to look at the name of Jesus under three themes: the origin of his name, the reason for his name, and the power of his name. So I'd like us to go back to Matthew chapter 1, and if you are using the church Bibles, it's on page 973. And from verse 18 to verse 20, it actually gives us the origin of the name of Jesus. And I would need to say a few things about this few verses, because the culture at the time is very different from our culture today. And you might be reading that and perhaps it could be a little bit confusing. Since I've been in the UK, I've never heard of anyone who has been betrothed to another person. So I want to believe that many people do not understand betrothal. But in the northern part of Nigeria, there's a lot of betrothal. You go to a secondary school and you see a girl and they tell you she's the wife of the Alaji. But she's not married to the man, but she's the wife because she's been betrothed to that man. The man is known that at some point when she's 18 or so, she will be married to that man. And that was what was happening here in between Joseph and Mary. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. She was meant to marry Joseph. It's not an engagement. They were not. Betrothed does not mean that Mary will now leave her parents' house and start living with Joseph, or Joseph will leave his parents' house and start living with Mary. No, they are supposed to be chaste, but everyone in the community is supposed to know that when this lady grows up, she's going to marry this man. And that was what betrothal was about. But in fact, Mary was found to be with a child. She was pregnant. And for those of you who are familiar with the Old Testament, there is a penalty for such things. Especially the woman, she will likely be stoned to death. That's what will likely happen. It's going to first be an embarrassment to her family, but even herself, the people will think she has brought a disgrace to the community. So she's likely to be killed. And the Bible describes Joseph as a righteous man. She doesn't want Mary to go through that process. She was planning to secretly divorce her so that she wouldn't be exposed to this kind of ridicule or possibly death in this case. And so God intervened. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said to him in verse 20, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Other passage of the Bible actually made it clear to us that Mary was a virgin at this time. The name Jesus was not a name that Joseph gave because he was very excited, or a name that Mary decided to give a son because of what she had gone through. Actually, this is a name that came from God. It's different from the name that you give your child. My son David has 11 names. That's a lot of names. And each of those names have a reason behind it. Some of them is as simple as grandma wants him to be called this. But this name, Jesus, is a name that came from God. Not conceived of human will, that somebody thinks this would be a nice name. This is a name that came from God. It's not a name that sounded nice to Mary or Joseph. It's a name that came from God. So the origin of the name Jesus is God. It's from heaven, not something that came from the heart. And that's the first thing we need to know. If we go to verse 21 of our passage, now we are looking at the reason for his name. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He will save his people from their sins. The reason for that name is because Jesus will save his people from their sins. Not just one sins, from all of their sins. And you might want to ask yourself, what about the law? Why do we need Jesus to save his people from their sins? After all, his people at the time, the Jews, they've had this law of Moses. We can read it in the Old Testament. Why does he then need to save them from their sins? It is because the law itself does not save people from their sins. This is the principle of the law. If you break one law, you are a sinner. So if there are 600 laws and you have kept 599 laws, the one law you have not kept makes you a lawbreaker. And if there is one man who has kept just one law, and you have kept 599 law, you are both lawbreakers. You are not more righteous than that man because you have kept 599 of 600 laws. So the law does not deliver people from their sins, but Jesus, the name that will be spoken by many during this time of Christmas, that name saves people from their sin. And perhaps you are wondering, what is sin? Sin is the breaking of God's laws. And just a quick one, we did not just appear in this world. I know some of you are scientists. I'm also a scientist. In fact, I have a PhD in science. And there are so many theories about the origin of man. The fact is, nobody really knows. So there are all sorts of theories. But the Bible tells us that man was made by God. And that is probably more believable, because every other thing you see around you, somebody made it. These things did not just appear. But some people believe it just sprung up from somewhere. But we human beings, we are made by God. And so, the reason Jesus came is to save us from our sins. God made us and he wants us to obey certain laws which he gave to man. And man always breaks the law anyways. In the Old Testament, when men have broken laws for 1 year, then they go and kill all sorts of animals and shed their blood to wash away their sins. And then they continue to start sinning again. And then they come again and shed more blood to wash away their sins. But Jesus, the reason for his name is that he will save us from all of our sins. In fact, sin, as Phil told us a few weeks ago, is a rebellion against God. Although we know the law of God, we will not do it, and then we will rebel against him. So yes, there was law at the time, but Jesus had to be born to save us from our sins, to save us from our transgressions, to stop us from sacrificing animals every year just to wash our sins away, which does not really wash it away. But Jesus, that name, the reason for the name is that our sins, we might be saved from our sins, rather. I'd like us to spend some time on the power of his name. See, the name of Jesus has a lot of power. Some of us know power to be something that is a force. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I would like us to open our Bibles or turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 7. And I will read from verse 18 to verse 25a. If you are using the church Bible, it's on page 1137. Page 1137, if you are using the church Bible. And that is Romans chapter 7. And I'll read from verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Maybe this is your experience, what we have just read here. And just rebelling against God has got a power in itself. And perhaps you know what is right and you just cannot do it. It is the power of sin. But verse 25, it says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The name of Jesus delivers us from sin. It gives us power over sin. Jesus is the reason we overcome sin. Sin is very powerful. Sin is an addiction. You just want to sin. It is natural. The Bible calls it self, our natural self. Naturally, we would commit sin. Naturally, we would do the wrong thing. Although we know what is right, although we know what we are supposed to do, we would naturally, as human beings, do the wrong thing. But as Paul said in that passage in verse 25, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The name Jesus delivers us from sins. It removes from us the guilt of sin. In fact, many times when we have done what we are not supposed to do, we then go about having this guilt because we knew what was right to do. But Jesus, that name Jesus, delivers us from our sins. It gives us power over self, over flesh, such that we are no longer a slave of sin. If you come to church every Sunday, you will know, it will be explained to you at some point how the name of Jesus can deliver you from your sins. But it all starts, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is the name of Jesus. It is not your works or the charity works that you've done. So many people in our country who are doing charity because they thought that by doing good to other people, just by doing that, they will be saved. No, it is Jesus that saves. It is the name of Jesus that saves. This name of Jesus provides. How great is that? The name of Jesus provides. In John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, you will receive. Whatever you ask in my name, you will receive. Not whatever you ask based on what you have done, but whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, you will receive. When you pray to God, you will receive. But perhaps your situation is like what Jesus described in verse 24 of John 16. Until now, you have asked nothing. Maybe you are a Christian. God has delivered you from the power of sin. But you do not ask. You need to ask God. That angel said to Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. But perhaps your own problem is you don't even ask God at all. You can tell it to everyone. Tell it to all your friends, your family, your children, your spouse. But you have never asked in the name of Jesus. That name provides. I mean, we read in the book of Acts all the great things that the name of Jesus has accomplished. And they are not fiction, they are real. In the name of Jesus, blind people have seen, they've received their sight. But Jesus challenges that until now you have not asked. And that could be our situation as Christians. Although we have been saved from sin, we just kept quiet. We need to ask God in the name of Jesus. Your job is to ask God. Let God give a response. Of course, Paul in the Bible asked God three times for something. And three times God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. But I'm not going to do what you've asked." But at least he asked. As a Christian, if you are here this morning, you need to ask God. In the name of Jesus, this is what Jesus said in John 16:24. "Until now you have not asked. Ask anything in my name and I will do it for you." And if God is going to say no, he will let you know it's no. But you need to ask. The name of Jesus provides when we ask him. The name of Jesus is above all names. Let us remember this name came from God himself. And this name is above every other name. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, Paul said, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven, on earth, under the earth, at that name of Jesus." It is not just an ordinary name. It is not a name born out of the will of man. It is a name that comes from heaven, from God. "And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow." As I said, in science, sorry to be talking more about science this morning. In science, everything is like a matter, an object. It's all physical most of the times. But the Bible tells us that the world we live in is not just a physical world. There is a spiritual world to it. If you have seen a person die before, you will know that there is something spiritual about man. Because one minute they might be talking, the next minute they are dead. Something has left them, but you can't see where the thing passed. Their life is gone from their body, but you can't find it. But you can know because you can see the difference between when this person is alive and when they are dead. And there are all sorts of spirits, the Bible says, there are good spirits, evil spirits in our world. But at the name of Jesus, whatever spirit, good, bad, even Satan himself, will bow. So you have a name that protects, a name that is powerful, and that is the name of Jesus. We looked at the book of Acts a few months ago. And when Paul was going on this missionary journeys, there are many things he did in the name of Jesus. And one of them is casting out devils. These are spirits, evil spirits, that are living in people. Paul is not casting them out because he's a lawyer and he knows how to talk. As a matter of fact, he was casting them out in the name of Jesus. There were some guys, the Bible calls them the seven sons of Cephas. They've seen what Paul was doing, and so they too, they went out and started saying, "Evil spirits should come out." But one day, the evil spirit actually replied them and said, "Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? Who are you? Seven sons of Cephas, who are you?" And the spirit dealt with them, actually. But just to tell us that the name of Jesus, the Bible says, is above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. As a Christian, I will tell you, there are some things we face that some people that are very smart said is spiritual attack. Things that are not normal, that evil spirits want to put against our lives. No matter how bad the attack is, the name of Jesus is the weapon we have. At the name of Jesus, whatever attack it is, we bow. Let me just tell you what I mean by spiritual things. So one day Jesus gathered his disciples together and said, "Who am I? Who do people say I am?" And that was easy. Everybody was saying, "Oh, some people say you are Elijah. Some people say you are a prophet." Some people, all the disciples had something to say. And Jesus said, "And who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." And a few moments later, Jesus was talking about the fact that he was going to die on the cross. And this same Peter opened his mouth and said, "No, you will not die." You know what Jesus said to him? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Was Jesus calling Peter Satan? No. But Jesus understands the spiritual world. A spirit is speaking through Peter, and it is not the spirit of God. And Jesus is casting out that spirit. And he's facing Peter and he's saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." As a Christian, spirits, evil spirits may want to attack you, but you have the name of Jesus to fight for you. Not how angry you have become or how much words you can speak, but that name, Jesus. Every spirit and everything spiritual understands that name. Because the Bible says in Philippians 2, God has exalted that name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Sometimes our lives may not be going in the right direction. You might actually be, you might know and sense that there is something really, really wrong somewhere. And it just defies logic or human logic. You can pray in the name of Jesus and speak to those situations in your life in the name of Jesus. You can speak to the situations in your life in the name of Jesus. And if that situation is of the devil, because you have mentioned the name of Jesus, they are bound to obey. That name is above all names, above any name that is ever mentioned. And just one more illustration. How many times do you go somewhere and nobody will answer you? But when you mention a name, then they quickly listen to you. I'll give you an example. When I was meant to come to the UK for my MSc, for my master's program, there was some riots in Port Harcourt in Nigeria, and I was meant to go to the British High Commission or some office in Port Harcourt, but there was an issue. So I wrote to the University of Nottingham and I said to them, "I don't think I'll be able to resume because there is some unrest, some riot in the south of Nigeria." And then they said I should leave it with them. So they spoke to the High Commissioner in Lagos or somewhere in Abuja, and the High Commissioner sent me a letter to take it to the British High Commission in Abuja. So I went to the British High Commission, which is not where you pick up your visas. So I got to the gate, the security were asking me, "What have you come to get today?" I said, "I've come for my visa." And he said, "This is not where you get visas. This place is for members of the diplomatic community." And they said all this big grammar. I said, "Okay." So I brought out my letter and I said, "I've got this letter from the High Commissioner." And he said, "Oh, come in, please." And I came in with my jeans. But when I got in, I looked very odd because everybody was in suit and tie. And somebody saw me at the door and he rushed to me and said,
oh, you are not supposed to be here.
So I said, okay. And I brought out my letter again. And the next thing I had was my name was called and they took me to the front seat. And everybody was looking at me. And I was told to check whether my visa page was correct. And that was quite unusual. But it was because I got a letter from the High Commissioner. It is the name of the High Commissioner that opened all those doors. Otherwise, I was not even meant to be there. Anyways, I'm not a member of the diplomatic community, as I said. The name of Jesus is more powerful than the name of a High Commissioner. Everyone and every spirit that exists recognize the name of Jesus. And that name protects. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it, and they are safe. So this Christmas period, people will talk about Jesus, or some people, not everyone. And when you hear people talk about the name Jesus, it is not just an ordinary name. It is not Ebenezer, some name that we have come about or our parents have given us because they love the name or it makes them feel good or the name of your grandparents or something. This is a name that comes from heaven. And this is a name that purifies us from all our sins, the name that provides for us, and the name that protects us. But the question this morning is, if you are here and you don't know Jesus, for you to experience the power of his name, you need to trust in him. It might be something for you to consider today, whether you really want to be close to Jesus. Jesus is not like every other person you hear that is a leader of somewhere. Their names do not come from heaven. Their name is not recognized by demons or spirits or anything. But the name of Jesus is not just an earthly name. It did not even originate from the earth. It came all from above. And maybe you are here this morning, you have experienced the power of his name. He has saved you from your sins. But then you do not ask God anything. You do not speak to you do not speak to situations in your life in the name of Jesus. God has not left us helpless. One of the help we have as Christians is the name of Jesus. And this week, remember, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God bless you.